Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your day one recap for this week's Ryder Cup. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
USA, baby. Let's go. We're close. It feels a little too good to be true right now. But what a day. What a day.
It could have been worse, Greg. We're gonna talk about it. It's 6-2. Okay, so we are through. We're gonna go through match by match. It is 6-2. It could have been worse, Greg.
Yeah, it really could have been. I mean, you think about JT and Jordan losing the very first match of the tournament, the first match of the event, tournament, whatever you want to call it, and then coming down the stretch, you're relying on a Tyrrell Hatton driver 5-iron to make birdie on 18. That was the first match that went to 18, too. Steal a half. And then JT, you have Justin Thomas sitting over a 25-footer for the full point, and you kind of feel like you got away with another half if you're the Europeans there at the very end.
Yeah, let's jump into this. So we started our Friday morning with foursomes. The pairings from the U.S. side were certainly no surprise. I don't think we got many surprises on the European side as well. But I guess the big storyline here, Greg, is that the United States comes out winning 3 points out of the possible 4 in the morning in a format that generally isn't a great format for them. So the Europeans, after the morning wave, already very much behind the eight ball.
Yes, although it did have a feel of a lot of the last Ryder Cups. I think one of the more surprising statistics that we see and have seen so far this week is that the Europeans haven't led after the first session since 2006. But you think about it, they've won every Ryder Cup but two in that time period. So it's been quite a nice run for them. And the U.S. has done well in the opening session. But the second session of day one has been where Europe has really made a move. And today, the U.S. really, they really fended them off.
The lone bright spot and the only match that was won in full by the Europeans on day one was the very first match out. It was Jon Rahm and Sergio Garcia winning 3-1 over Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. This was very much a heavyweight bout. We had the number one player in the world on one side, along with the man who has scored, more European points or more Ryder Cup points than anybody, going up against Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, one of the longest running partnerships in Ryder Cup history. And Jon Rahm looked like the number one player in the world. Sergio Garcia hit a couple of funky shots, but this was a heavyweight bout with the Europeans coming out on top.
Yeah, and early on in that, you see what foursome play is really all about. It's much more of a grinders, scramblers kind of game, because you can hit good tees, especially on this golf course. Jon Rahm hit a couple of pulls early, and Sergio was in some funky lies in the hay in many cases. Really that match was won on the greens by Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm's putter got hot, and for the U.S. they missed, particularly JT. He missed a lot of putts he could have had. I wouldn't say they're not tap-ins, not quite as bad as Tommy Fleetwood was later on in the afternoon around the turn. He missed some real short ones. It wasn't quite that bad for JT, but there were a lot of opportunities starting right at the very first hole where he had chances to change the momentum. And if he got a couple of those putts to fall, I do think that match would have turned out very different. But fortunately, the guys behind had their back.
The perfect encapsulation of that match was Jordan Spieth hitting maybe the greatest shot I've ever seen in my entire life, almost succumbing to Lake Michigan. And then JT misses like the 4-footer for par. That was like the perfect, they were never going
to
win this.
Yeah, right. It just wasn't meant to be. And look, if you give up a point to John Rahm, it's not the end of the world. That's why the Americans are still the favorite, even though the Europeans have world number one, because John Rahm can go out there and win a match and they can still kind of get handled for the session. But that shot was, and it nearly took the brim of his own hat off. It went straight up in the air and it might've hit him. It might've hit himself right in the hat if he hadn't fallen backwards as far down as he did, but beautiful control by Jordan Spieth to get his footing, go with the momentum. It was like getting in an undercurrent out in the ocean and swimming with it until you gain your footage. So it was a thing of beauty.
Match number two of foursomes was Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa beating Paul Casey and Victor Hovland 3-2. Greg, this was an example of kind of never getting off beat. You know, an alternate shot when you've got this setup where you want the best driver to drive on the hard holes, then you want your approach guy to hit the approaches. And sometimes when you get out of order, you're in big trouble. DJ and Colin never got out of order. It was just DJ pounding drives and Colin Morikawa hitting it to, 15 feet and making enough putts. It was a very good display of golf as the second matchup.
Yes, for both players. And you think about the confidence on the first hole, you have Colin Morikawa holing a really nice putt for birdie,
That was such a pure stroke dead in the, I was so impressed right out of the gate, your first Ryder Cup match, your first hole, this guy just pures one dead in the heart.
And it's huge for him. That's the concern with Colin Morikawa, or the knock is, well, when he doesn't play well, it's usually on the putter, and he looked healthy, which is the first real thing. I think we expected him to look healthy. His swing looked like it was back in form, but the biggest question for him, no matter what kind of form the rest of his game is what's he going to do on the greens? And we've seen him look like, a phenomenal putter in events that he's won, and events that he doesn't win, he typically struggles on the greens. So when you get in this format and you're playing with the veteran Dustin Johnson and you don't want to let him down and you're playing at home and there's a lot of pressure, he stepped up and that was really important. And I think it was kind of a turning point and it really helped his confidence going through the rest of the day.
It is not lost on me that these guys are both TaylorMade guys. How big of a deal is it that they both play the TP5, the same ball in alternate shot?
I think it's a really big deal. I think it's a really big deal. You think back to Seve Ballesteros, and I can't tell you the year, but Seve one time, it was months before the Ryder Cup, he sent some like 300 balls to Nick Faldo and said, get used to these because we're playing together and we're playing this ball. And when you don't have to make that decision and nobody has to make an adjustment, it helps. It goes a long way. So it's an underrated aspect of alternate shot. It's one I think the Americans have taken kind of, I don't want to say they've been lazy about it, but it hasn't been a focal point. And I think it's created some issues in the past. You think of like a Tiger Phil pairing for one. They play such different golf balls, or did at the time. And it was a big adjustment for someone. And that's a challenge. And so these guys not having to deal with that. Yeah, it's nice. And you know that they know each other, right? They're in the Christmas cards together and all
they're,
that. Kind
they're
of
in
stuff.
The onesies together.
Right. Right. So they've, they're close.
Speaking of guys who may or may not be close, the Florida State boys, Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger, get the job done over Lee Westwood and Matt Fitzpatrick. That was 2-1. My two takeaways from this match, Greg. One, Daniel Berger was great. I love Daniel Berger. And Lee Westwood was not. There was very little energy, very little fight from the Europeans in general on this Friday. But it felt like, especially from this pairing.
I liked this Berger Koepka pairing. It's one I expected to see. I wasn't sure if it was going to be in foursomes or four ball. But I really liked the pairing. Daniel Berger was confident. He was ready to go. There was no sign of nerves from him, which was great. He had a couple of blocks with iron shots late, and I thought the Americans got a little sloppy in this one towards the end. But you're right. There was never a sense of, okay, Westwood and Fitzpatrick are really coming after us. And I thought this was the most curious. I know they're both Englishmen. I get you have a young and an old, so to speak, which makes sense. But I would have liked to see, if I'm Padraig Harrington, a little more energy out of this group. And I'm not sure where that was going to come from the start. So it was really important for the U.S. to take a match that I thought they were kind of slop. I mean, they didn't really have to do a whole lot. Yeah. And so they got the point and they got the win. But this one, it went on longer than it needed to.
I didn't think that. Yeah, I did not even think the Americans were great. On that side, I thought Berger hit a couple of really good piercing shots. They made a couple of putts, but it was just like a battle of attrition. Like, who's going to just outlast the other team to get this one done? It was
Koepka missed a couple of putts that he could have had. Berger on the very first hole, that was a rather nasty lip out. I thought he hit a really good putt. But anyway, they could have really ran away with this match and didn't. But it was nice to come away with the full point.
The anchor match on Friday morning was the heavyweight bout. These are a couple of big time pairings, or at least some star power. Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele going up against Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter. And Greg, I can't even say it was a hot start for Cantlay and Xander, because that might be not doing it enough justice. They won not only the first hole, not only the first two, not the first three, not the first four, the first five holes. This thing was over, absolutely boat raced, an hour and 15 minutes into this match.
And these are two of, it's great. Again, you go back to, it's the same thing in the Koepka match, although almost, you love getting the full point any way you can get it. But when you get a full point against the two emotional leaders, the spark plugs of the European team, I think it goes even farther. You just kind of cut their legs out from under them. You cut the wind out of their sails. You saw Poulter later in that match trying to get a couple of fist pumps going when they're staying alive. But it was just, there was just nothing there. There wasn't enough that they could do. So I loved Stricker putting these guys out in the anchor match. You're expecting a big time opponent in that slot. And to be able to, you know, you don't know where you're going to get Rom. You don't know where you're going to get Rory, but you figure it's probably first and last.
Right.
And to get a split out of JT and Spieth against their heavyweight and Cantlay and Schauffele against their, to get a split there, I think is really big, because you're now able to take advantage of your depth in the middle two matches and come away with a significant lead. So huge, huge match for them. And it was great to take away that stress, take away the question, take away any momentum that a Poulter and Rory getting a blue flag on the board could have done.
You nailed this. Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter are the emotional spark plugs of this European team, along with John Rahm. So when you get two of them out in the anchor match, you're expecting fireworks. And we never saw it. Maybe because they lost the first five holes, but we didn't even see it really, like, after their tee shots on their approach. It just never happened. They were flat from the tee shot. And when you lose the first couple, it never got back on track. We're going to have more to talk about Rory McIlroy, but this was, to me, the most disappointing match of Friday. And then it's going to get worse for Rory when we talk about the afternoon matches.
Right. So look, that it's a huge win. And these are guys that you have circled on your list if you're Captain Stricker. We got to find a way to slow down Rory, Rahm, Poulter. He may have included some other players in there. Those were the three that I had in mind. Maybe Sergio Garcia is one of them as well. But that being said, when you cut the legs out from underneath those guys, you kind of expect Rahm to play well. And you expect Rom to give you a battle. And if you don't beat him, but you give him a good match, you feel like you feel like you gave it your best. But when you can take two of three, two of four, whatever you consider it, and you can crush their momentum early in this manner, it goes a long way, and it sends a very serious message.
And I don't want to take away from Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, because they were magnificent, Greg. They were, I think they made five birdies out of the gate or something like that. I mean, it was very impressive golf. They continued that successful partnership. We did not see them play together in the afternoon. More on that in just 1 second. But that is when you are Captain Stricker and you are looking for a reliable pair and you get your guys to go out and do what they did in the anchor match in the morning. It's chef's kiss.
In foursomes. Yes. And you're developing now. You knew you could see this coming from President's Cup, and they went 2-0 together in President's Cup, 0-2 in four ball. So you're looking at these guys and hoping that they are what you think. But now when you come up in your first match in foursome play is against Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter, that's welcome to the Ryder Cup. And nothing against the international players, but this is what the Ryder Cup is. And this is the team. This is a team that really hurts the Americans year in and year out. These two players, whether they're together, separate, whatever, they have been an Achilles heel for us. And when your new hot, high anticipation pairing comes through like this and can really put the beat down on, it's a good sign. And Captain Stricker feels really good, really good.
He was feeling himself after getting 3 points in the opening session in foursomes. So the U.S. team goes out 3 points to 1 point, and we go to afternoon four ball. We need to talk about that. We need to speculate wildly about the results of this event. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we're back. Friday afternoon, four ball. This is a birdie fest, Greg. This is everybody gets to play their own ball. We just try to rack up as many birdies as we can, and we see what happens. This historically, and even on paper, a much better format for the U.S. team because of their, birdie-making prowess.
Yes, it's definitely a better session, but it's still kind of a, the last 10 Ryder Cups, the Europeans are 5-3-1 in this format. So it's better and we like our chances more, but this is the format where you get a lot more splits. You may get more halves. You're more likely to see a 2-2 kind of a session, and where four sums, it tests the team more, in my opinion. So I kind of feel like while the Europeans have had an edge and at some points have been dominant in four sums against us, we have kind of been a little bit of a letdown in the four ball where we're expected to do better. Mm. And today we did a little more of what we were expected to do.
We did not get on either side any duo being paired together again in the afternoon from the morning. First time in Ryder Cup history that has happened. That means JT and Spieth did not play together. Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele did not play together. We did not see DJ Morikawa again. And I want to know why, Greg. I have a theory, a little bit of a theory, but what's your hunch on why neither team opted to roll out the same exact pair for the first time in Ryder Cup history?
It doesn't surprise me for the Europeans. One, because they were losing, right? Two, they do this all the time.
Correct.
From the American side, it's a little bit more of a risky play because you have two pairings who are marquee. They're expected to do really well in JT and Spieth and Morikawa and Schauffele and Cantlay. You're expecting a lot out of those guys. And so if you split these teams up and it doesn't work, it could be those kind of decisions could be brought into question. But I like it. I like splitting them up. I think you have pairings for you have teams for sessions, you have teams for formats, and this is what the Europeans have done beautifully over the years. And I can't help but think it helps unite the team a little bit more, right? All of a sudden you have a Schauffele DJ pairing that we didn't expect to see, and it works. And you have a JT and a Cantlay coming together, and now all of a sudden you're taking these really strong groups that you have, these really strong teams, and you're turning them into a bigger, closer, more united team. So I think it's interesting on a couple of fronts. It was risky, but fortunately it worked out.
I think that it is a more data-driven decision process. And I think that they're looking at it saying, yep, here's our good combos for alternate shot. Here's our good combos for best ball. And I think that just taking the same guys and rolling them out four times together was a little bit old school because they play well together and they feed off each other and we're going to keep them going. And like there was never any data behind that, but you're right. And I was thinking about this as soon as those pairings came out, I was thinking if this goes south for Europe or for the United States, if Europe wins this 3-1 and they go on to win the Ryder Cup, this will be the moment that everyone says Steve Stricker either over captained or over coached or overthought it or did whatever. But at least thus far, he has dodged that bullet.
Yeah. I'm interested to know what kind of data you thought it comes into play. Like for just to go through some of the groupings, Scheffler and Bryson make sense. They play at the same course together. There's a Texas thing there. They're both wonderful drivers of the ball. And then it's also four ball. So you have an opportunity. It's you don't have to gel quite as much. Mm-hmm. So I do think that one made sense. I think it's the most likely pairing for Bryson. English and Finau was an interesting one to me that I didn't necessarily, I didn't see any of the other ones coming, I guess.
Neither did I, but I think you can make the argument and okay. I think the argument is you can get a really good prolific potential birdie maker with someone who is much more solid. Harris English goes with Tony Finau. Harris English is your solid one. Patrick Cantlay is your solid one. Scottie Scheffler, at least more solid than Bryson because Bryson is just an absolute maniac out there. And then Xander Schauffele plays the straight man to Dustin Johnson. And what you also get is the United States has a plethora of riches, right? All of their guys are so good. You could make this argument just about every single one of them. But we saw this, especially in the DeChambeau-Scheffler pairing, that Scottie Scheffler hitting fairways and hitting greens allows Bryson DeChambeau to literally do whatever he wants.
Right. And that's what Scottie Scheffler does for the year. I mean, he is at his length, extremely accurate. And he is, I want to say, yeah, he might be our third I think he's our third most accurate driver of the golf ball. I don't have it in front of me right now, but at his length, you could argue is one of the better drivers on the PGA Tour. He's hitting like 64% of his fairways for the year at 305 yards off the tee. So yeah. That's a really accurate hitter. But again, it's the Texas thing makes sense to me, but it's not the guy I would, based on that. Well, I want to, checkmark kind of, I call it checkmark golf, fairways and greens. I would have thought Harris English would be great in that role. Daniel Berger would be.
Yeah, we've been talking about an English Bryson right? pairing for a long time. That's
in this format.
Right. Yeah.
So Scheffler, I guess, look, it makes sense and it worked. I think that may have had more to do with the Dallas National connection than anything else.
For sure. The afternoon four ball session. We can roll through these. Match one, Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele beat Paul Casey and Bernd Wiesberger 2-1. I was pretty impressed with Bernd Wiesberger. I thought he made a couple of really clutch putts. He hit a couple of good shots. The Europeans were simply outclassed by Dustin Johnson and Xander Schauffele, who are just thriving in the moment. And now both of them have two full points for the United States team.
I think this may have been a mistake from Potter Carrington. I mean, this is not a first of the session kind of team, in my opinion. So when I saw that matchup, I was a little bit surprised. It's like, I don't want to say they're wonderful players. And I agree with you. Bernd Wiesberger impressed me. Stepping up and birdie in the first hole the way that he did in his first Ryder Cup is a big deal. And he played really well. But you know, going in, he's on the weaker side. And you're relying on Paul Casey to kind of show him the way. So it was an interesting first pairing. You have John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton out there. You got Rory and Shane Lowry, even Fleetwood and Hovland. I think you expect those guys to give a better match. And if you're Podrick, you're looking at what Stricker's going to do with a 3-1 lead. He's got to come out heavy early. And I feel like he gave him kind of the weakest of their matches first, which I thought was I think that was a mistake, but DJ and Xander played wonderful golf, and they would have been tough for anybody to beat.
Yeah, that's certainly right. Bryson DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, and Tyrrell Hatton played to a tie in the afternoon, but that does not give this match as much credit as it deserves, because this was a heck of a match. We saw Bryson play four ball for the first time. He hit some unbelievable shots. He made a bunch of birdies early, but the shot that we will remember, Greg, is the line that he took on the par 5 fifth, in which he hit this is not a typo, you're not mishearing me, a 417 yard drive, flips a wedge in there, makes eagle. That is the upside. There it is. Thank you, producer Jacob, if you're watching on YouTube. That is what Bryson DeChambeau can bring in a format. Look at this line compared to what his other guys did. This is unbelievable to try to pull this off and then actually do it.
And again, look at where Scottie Scheffler's is, that other red one there.
Fairway.
Yeah. And so I think that's really important. And also the wind direction was perfect. And so you're right. This is what he can bring to the table. And it's fascinating. It's why this is the format for him, why he can be so dominant in this kind of format. So you love this. You love getting it's probably a rare time where John Rahm feels like somebody's doing something he can't, like outclassed in an area, which is amazing. It doesn't happen very often, but that can be intimidating. And all the credit in the world to Rahm and Hatton, because they fought hard. And as you heard John Rahm say in his post round interview, looking a little dark for a while there. Yeah. They were able to fight them off.
It was a battle. I mean, no side was ever more than one up at any point in this match. It required, I think you said it earlier, driver 5-iron from Tyrrell Hatton on 18 to secure the half a point. I mean, it was a battle throughout. Well-deserved half a point for both of these teams. But again, not lost on me that John Rahm has 1.5 of the 2 points for the entire team, and we've got 8 matches in the books. That's not going to work.
No, it is. But well, you need that. You need that.
Well, yes, of course.
You need that from John Robb. But he can't make up that kind of percentage of the total here. There's just, it's not going to work. So look, he's a beast. Getting a split out of Rahm, you take that any, you get a half point in the John Rahm match, both matches tomorrow, and you're going into Sundays feeling very happy. Very happy. I don't care if it's JT again. I don't care who the US throws at him. You get a half against John Rahm and you did something right. So that's a big deal. And for Bryson and Scheffler, who are kind of younger guys, Scheffler being a rookie, Bryson only his, I mean, Bryson's never won a full point in team play, which is fascinating.
I don't think he's ever won. I think that was his first point at all. I think he was 0-3. I might be
he wrong. He was 0-3 in the Ryder Cup, but he had a half in half in the President's Cup. I think he was 0-1-1 in the President's Cup. He didn't play very much. But anyway, here nor there. He get a half against a pairing like Rahm and Hatton was a big deal. And it kept some momentum going. And losing, if they had lost the 17th hole and they lose a full point there, I think it could have really hurt momentum a little more.
Tony Finau and Harris English pull out a buzzsaw and defeat Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry 4-3. My takeaways, Tony Finau, awesome. He had 8 different threes on his card. They only played 15 holes, flashing back to Paris just a bit. And again, Rory McIlroy on the wrong side of an absolute drubbing, and it becomes the first time for Rory McIlroy in his Ryder Cup career that he went 0-2 without a single point in a full day of matches.
He has a lot of work to do to salvage a Ryder Cup here. I mean, you think about starting 0-2. If Rory wins 2 matches tomorrow and his singles, he goes 3-2. And it will probably be it'll be a really important 3-2 if he can do that. But man, you lose this way and you perform the way he did, and it's not a great look. And that takes away some of that spark plug attitude. And when it's Tony Finau and Harris English doing it to you, if you're looking at the pairings, the potential pairings, this is one that doesn't have the star name appeal that might scare you. It's not like you lost to DJ and Xander, right? Two top 5 players in the world. Nothing against Finau in English, just amongst this group of 12, it's a little less scary. And they come out and drum you like that. I mean, but kudos to Finau because he was awesome. And if they give him 2 opportunities tomorrow, I'm not sure what's in the plans for that. But if he gets 2 opportunities tomorrow, he has a chance to be the star of the Ryder Cup.
Oh man, I did not see this coming for Rory McIlroy. Well, we can talk about more about that in just a second. The final match of the afternoon, Justin Thomas and Patrick Cantlay get together and they get a half a point from Tommy Fleetwood and Victor Hovland, but it's going to feel like a full point, Greg, because they were 3 down through 8. They made the turn 2 down. They grinded their way back into this. Justin Thomas makes a great eagle on 16 and they play to get a half a point. So they end up stealing kind of that one in the end in a match that we were probably chalking up for a full point to the Europeans, a while before this thing ended.
It shifts, right? At first you're saying Thomas and Cantlay should get a point here. They really should. I know Fleetwood and Hovland are great players, but we should get a point here. And then you're through 8 holes saying, okay, we're not going to get anything here. we're getting whitewashed. This isn't good. And then Justin Thomas, our emotional leader, turns it on. He steps on the gas and fortunately for the Americans, Fleetwood and Hovland didn't make any birdies on the second 9 and allowed the hottest player in the world coming in and our emotional spark plug in JT to really get it going. And the eagle was huge. The shot into 17, even though he didn't make the putt, was an awesome shot. And you kind of felt like, okay, these guys aren't going away. And you end up 3 down through 8 holes and you end up with a 25-foot putt to win a full point on 18. No chance of losing. You're happy.
Mm. Well, after the dust settles on 8 matches on Friday, it is 6 points in favor of the United States and 2 in favor of Team Europe. And with that, our friends over at Caesars are they're ready to Vince Carter.gif this thing, I'm pretty sure, Greg, because they have the Americans at minus 1,000 to win the Ryder Cup. That means you lay $1,000, you get it right, you get $100 in return. Team Europe, if you still like that side of it, 9-1. It is clearly an uphill battle from here. What kind of damage would Europe need to do on Saturday to give themselves a fighting chance heading into the final day?
You got to win tomorrow. And I don't think you have to come back tomorrow. Singles, there's a lot of opportunity for volatility. You're down 4 now. If you can close it to three, get within 3 going into singles, you have a real chance. Mm. At 4, it's not over, but it takes a miracle. At 5, right, it's over, right? So if you lose tomorrow and you're the Europeans, let's say you lose by a point, you're toast. You win it's by over. A point, you got a chance. And if you have... you need 2012 all over again. So to feel comfortable, you know, you try to win each session. You win each session by a half a point. You go into Sunday down 3 and you're there, and you hope you can catch a little momentum, get your guys fired up. Cause winning the day will do more than just get you within 3. It will mean that you have some momentum on your side. And I really think if you're the US, you have to be cautious of that. Because it's easy to lose a day by a point. It's not hard to do. This could easily turn into what we had today flipped. And you could be tied going, who knows? It's happened before. So you got to treat it that way if you're the Americans. And if you do, and you still treat this like you came into today, like this thing is all tied, you haven't done anything yet, you haven't earned the Ryder Cup yet, and you know that the guys in blue and gold have a knack for miracles on Sunday, you treat it that way, and going into Sunday, this thing will be over. Because it should be. But it won't take a lot for Sunday to get interesting.
When you look at potential pairings for Saturday, is it just stick with what works for the United States, run back out there, something similar to what they did for foursomes in the morning? And does Europe have to kind of just shuffle it around, try to find some magic? Like what, how is there a sense of desperation, and will Captain Padraig Harrington act accordingly?
You can't go crazy and get away from your game plan. Cause like I said, you only have to, you got to win each session, right? So you don't have to do anything completely out of the ordinary. I think you know that Rahm and Garcia are going to be really tough to beat. So I think you got to roll them out there. Ian Poulter is a guy who didn't play very well, didn't look great, but now his back's up against the wall. And I wouldn't be afraid of leaning on that guy with his back up against the wall. Question is Rory McIlroy his partner? How are you feeling about Rory? And he's your problem if you're Padraig right now. Are you going to give him a chance?
I'll ask 2 questions. What would it take for Rory McIlroy to not play both sessions tomorrow? Is that even in the realm of possibility? That's your guy. It's got to go through Rory and John Rahm. If you sit Rory, have you conceded this Ryder Cup?
Oh, wow. Have you conceded it?
Right.
I think if you sit Rory, it means you're desperate. It means you're desperate. So I wouldn't look at it like a concession. I would look at it as a real question on Rory's game, the state of Rory's game. Because you think about odds and probabilities, and I know Padraig does. So Padraig's sitting there saying, okay, Rory McIlroy is not going to go 0-5. Although I did say before this thing started there, I thought there were 2 guys in this event that would have the opportunity to go 0-5. And it was Rahm and Rory, because they're not going to get benched. So, but Rory's played, you know, he hasn't looked great So,
Greg, I didn't see him hit one single like good shot all day.
But who's the replace? Who's the guy that you say? All right,
I know.
All right, Rory, you're gonna sit because we're gonna play.
We got to get Beesburger out there.
Is he the, like?
No, they don't have one. They don't
is it Shane Lowry? They don't. It's not there. Is it Paul? It's not Paul Casey. It's not Lee Westwood. I think Ian Poulter finds a spot in the morning, and that is probably it. I don't see it. It's not Matt Fitzpatrick.
No.
I mean, Fleetwood and Hovland looked really good. Fleetwood looked better than I expected him to coming into the week. I was a little worried about him.
I thought Hovland was fantastic.
Hovland's fantastic. So maybe those two guys go out in the morning. Would that surprise you? I mean, if you played them in four sums, you play Sergio and you play the Spanish contingent, right?
Yeah, I mean, right. You play those guys. You try to grab 2 points, right? You go Rom, Sergio, Rory, Hovland, and be like, this is our best chance at getting two, and maybe we get a half a point or a full point from someone.
You go Rory, Hovland. You split Fleetwood, Hovland.
Yeah, dude. I think you just have to go like put your four best players in two groups, and that's probably Rom, Sergio, and then Rory, Hovland,
and then maybe you go with like a Poulter, Casey, just see if you can get him going crazy, or a Hatton Poulter or something.
Hatton looked good. Yeah. He looked good. Yeah.
And then you steal another half point and all of a sudden you win the first session. And now it's a whole,
all of a sudden it's 2.5, 1.5. And that makes it 7.5-4. And you're feeling a little bit of something.
You win and it's, you close the gap by 1 point. And all of a sudden, it's anyone's day. Come singles, if you have to make up two points with 12 singles matches out there, the way momentum works, I still like the U.S. in singles. But if the momentum has shifted to that point, it's a real factor. So the U.S. has to come out strong too. That's a really important thing. They have to come out with really heavy pairings early. They can't rest anybody yet. If they get through foursomes and they win 3-1 again, now you have some decisions to make. Am I going to save some guys for singles, or am I going to try to close this thing out tonight? And that's where you want to be tomorrow afternoon if you're Captain Stricker.
Last thing before we get out of here, real quick. If the Americans win tomorrow morning and extend this lead, let's say it's 9-3 heading into the afternoon. Do we see? Here's the time to do it, Greg. Brooks and Bryson, roll them out in four ball. They're not really even playing together. It could be this American victory lap, kumbaya, all come together. Let's go put the dagger in the Europeans.
No, you can't go. You can't spoil a good thing. I mean, that would be, if something happened, you'd be looked at as the worst captain. I mean, it'd ruin a great captaincy. Because what he did today was great, and you'd ruin it. Don't do that, please.
I don't think we will see it either. But a man can dream.
Yeah,
that's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. Producer Jacob does all the hard work behind the scenes. Thank you, Producer Jacob. We will be back after day two to break it all down, and of course after the final day of the Ryder Cup as well. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut. And we'll catch you next time.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.